1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ghislaine Maxwell is scheduled to undergo a second day of questioning by Justice Department officials in the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. CBS's Jared Hill.
Today, Deputy AG Todd Blanche is back with a convicted sex trafficker, posting the DOJ will share more of what they learn at the appropriate time.
Maxwell serving 20 years at a prison in Tallahassee. Midwestern states get a break as a brutal heat dome moves into the Northeast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The midsection of the country is going to see the heat rebound, even if today is a little bit cooler than the last couple days have been. This weekend and on into early next week, the heat returns.
High in New York City today, upwards of 95 degrees. French President Macron says his country will recognize the state of Palestine. The BBC's Yolande Nell from Jerusalem.
This is recognition that Palestinians have long sought, and they've welcomed this announcement by France.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he won't be running for a third term. So who will enter the Democratic primary? Savannah Tolmay Olson reports.
This will be Wisconsin's first race without an incumbent running in 16 years. And the list of potential Democratic contenders includes some of the state's highest ranking in the party. There's Attorney General Josh Call, Evers Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who says it's been an honor to be Evers' partner over the last couple years. There's Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, who said she's better for having served with Evers. Locally, Madison State Senator Kelda Royes may be on the short list. She thanked Evers for his decades of service and for normalcy during chaotic times. Over in Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson and County Executive David Crowley may be considering a run. And State Senator Chris Larson urged Evers to step down, and talking to our Maggie Dawn would not answer whether he was considering a run himself. Washington County Executive Josh Showman and businessman Bill Berrien have already entered the race on the Republican side. Senator Tammy Baldwin says Wisconsin is lucky to have had Evers. He's always put the state first. Madison Congressman Mark Pocan said he's proud to call Evers a friend and thanked him for bringing decency back to the state house. Dane County Executive Melissa Agard thanked Evers for his decades of service, saying he did what was best for kids, families, working folks, and communities across the state. Meanwhile, he's still got a year and a half left in office. Evers is asking the Trump administration to reconsider cuts that he says would hurt the forestry industry and would be devastating to Wisconsin. The federal government is reportedly diverting up to $43 million from the U.S. Forest Service in order to pay severance packages to fired government workers. This is the second time Evers has gone to the federal government to defend the forestry industry here. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
Watch out for Matthew Golden. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden is turning heads on the practice field, the first-round pick catching short passes, then turning up field for big gains, Packers safety Evan Williams.
Obviously, it's the first couple days, so we'll see how he can consistently go. But, I mean, to know that you have a guy like that that can, you know, bring a level of explosiveness to the offense, you know, it's exciting, man.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a series against the Marlins in Milwaukee. Will they make a trade before the deadline next week? Pat Murphy says, let's not discuss in front of the players.
You just can't let it get in there. I'll answer questions. I'll openly talk about different things that they're discussing, but that's their job, the front office, and they do a great job of it. Yeah, I'm just worried about this club, the group in the clubhouse right now, and what's going on with them, and I don't want them looking over their shoulder or whatever, and I just want them thinking about, hey, how can I help the team win tonight? How do I help?
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it is 60. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here in Oshkosh, live on this Friday morning, July 25th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing our fabulous show in our fabulous studio, Madison Studio A2. Coming up, we're going to hear from County Executive Gordon Hintz in just a bit. Also, it is Free Ticket Friday, your chance to win some Brewers tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon. We'll give you the keyword to text us coming up in just a bit. Our Week in Review panel is here as well. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. Of course, we'll be talking about reaction to Governor Tony Evers and his announcement that he will not be running for a third term next year, opening up just a wide open primary for Democrats, for Republicans, and not just for the governor's race, but for lieutenant governor and theoretically possibly attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on what Josh Call and Sarah Guy Lewski and others decide to do. Could open up some legislative seats if some legislators decide to run for other offices. So there are just huge ramifications that we're going to get into, all put in place by Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. So that is all still to come, along with State Assembly Representative Lee Snodgrass and also Mike Clemens with sports. But first, we did get a chance to talk to my former legislative colleague, Gordon Hintz, who got back into elected office recently, ran for and won the position here in Oshkosh, Winnebago County Executive. And so I started by asking him a bit about the role. We get into the level of county government and what it provides, the difference from being a state legislator, all with County Executive Gordon Hintz. And we are joined now by Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz. Gordon, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Pat. Good to be here.
It's good to see you again. It's been a while since we were serving under the big white dome together there and doing other things. My other thing eventually included radio. Your other thing eventually included being a county executive. Tell me about the path to that. What made you decide to run for local elected office?
Yeah, well, now that I'm older, about 25 years ago, I went to grad school wanting to be a city manager, you know, and I went out to California after grad school to do a local government management assistant program, was a budget analyst, but then I kind of got fired up about politics, returned to Wisconsin, ran for the state assembly, eventually, you know, getting elected, serving 16 years in the state legislature. I took a break after getting myself out, working for the Wisconsin laborers, you know, doing workforce development and partnering with our union contractors, which was a great experience. But I realized I really missed public service. I missed being involved in community. And I don't think I ever lost interest in local government. I think I was burned out on partisan politics, on legislative politics. but I still felt the calling for public service. I got encouraged by people in the community to consider running, thinking we needed more professional government, and got back in running. It was a different kind of campaign, and it's really a different kind of role being the county executive, you know, than it was sort of being a legislator. So it's my 100th day on the job. It's been a challenge, but, you know, I think I've realized certain things about myself and what I'm motivated to do and what I enjoy in terms of the kind of work I do.
Well, you get to do all sorts of things on policy, and we'll talk about local government, but there is those things that are also front-facing, very public. This week is one as big as it gets for AirVenture being in Oshkosh. What's the week been like so far?
It's been great. The weather has mostly been cooperative, which is what we like to see. I don't think we've had any major incidents. On Monday, I've gone the EAA tour before, where we go out with Air Adventure. I used to invite legislators up to kind of see the world's biggest air show. I went out with our airport director and did it from a county standpoint, since it's the county airport. It's sort of the big deal to drive around, get an idea of how things work, the partnership between the county and EAA. But all indications are things that are going well. We just got an economic impact study that shows what the benefit to the community is. EAA continues to grow, continues to be a part of the community for what has been a great long-term partnership. And but it's definitely, the traffic is busier in Oshkosh. The businesses and restaurants are full. But it's I think it's a good relationship, even for the community that may not be in airplanes.
Yes, I mean, and a lot of it, these are nice. They're nice problems to have. Other communities would like to have some of those problems for 1 or 2 weeks a year. So let's talk about county government itself. And you come at it from an executive standpoint now, as a former legislator. And I come at it as, you know, I mean, that was my first beat, was covering county boards. I have long since lost count of how many county board and county board committee meetings I covered, you know, all throughout Northwest Wisconsin over the years. But it's something most people don't think about. So when you do get that puzzled look, when you tell somebody you're the county executive, what is it about the county level of government in Wisconsin, especially, that is so instrumental to the everyday lives of our communities?
Yeah, I mean, we are arms of the state. We have mandated services that the state requires the county to implement, you know, everything from, administering, you know, badger care, child support services, legal services, aging and long-term care, other social services. You know, human services are probably the biggest part of the, county agencies. But you know, the sheriff's office, public health, the highway department, but it's not, you know, I think people identify with the school district. They know what schools do. They identify with their municipality. They know they call the police, the garbage gets picked up, the snow gets plowed. But a lot of the county services, if you don't have a direct interaction with them, you may not be as familiar. You know, if you're not using some of those services, if you're not, using the nursing home, if you don't know somebody involved. And I think that's something that we need to do a better job of, promoting the work that the county does so that the public gets it, and that we make sure that the priorities of the county are in line with what the priorities of the community are. And I realized it during the campaign, and I realize it, you know, more being executive. It's incredible to hear that when you were covering the news on TV that you actually covered county government, given how little attention it seems to receive now. And we're, you know, trying to work on that, you know, with traditional and non-traditional media. But, you know, we're up against the same challenges in this environment that everybody is.
Without a doubt. And yet you have to be, you know, responsive. You are local that way. And so let's close by looking at your first 100 days in office, and then maybe the next 100. Tell me something that you've been very happy with, that you've done new in the position. And then what's something that you're really hoping to accomplish in the next 100 days, or well into what may be your first term?
Well, I mean, prioritizing engagement with the public, especially our municipal partners, you know, reaching out to the other local governments in the county, you know, Winnebago County is sort of the northern part of the county, Neenah, Menasha, Fox Cities, which probably identify with Appleton more. And then Oshkosh, it's its own thing. And then the Western communities, it's, we're sort of divided into thirds and trying to get everybody focused on what can Winnebago County do? How can we partner as, you know, with municipalities and with other nonprofits? You know, I've been trying to build those relationships and make everybody know that we are going to be a partner. Probably the biggest thing that we've been spending time on is the acquisition of UW-Fox. They closed the two-year campus. We had co-owned it with Outagamie County. We've since, my first day, the board bought them out for a dollar. We were able to preserve the existing child care center there, maintain the Barlow Planetarium, but we're working on a redevelopment plan for the campus of 43 acres to hopefully not only make it financially sustainable to preserve the theater and the field house and the public amenities people appreciate, but also get some development that increases, that adds tax base for the county and for the community. And so, getting us to this point have been so far, but we've got a lot of work to do, but that's been what's consumed a lot of the first 100 days. And the next 100 days will involve a lot of budget development, and that'll be continued to be transparent, engage the public. We're going to propose the budget a month earlier than normal so we can take it on the road, so we can do some town halls, so we can hit the Rotary clubs and really use it as an opportunity to promote the good work that county government does.
County Executive for Winnebago County, Gordon Hintz. Gordon, great to catch up with you. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the new job. Wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Nice to talk to him as we are here live in Oshkosh this morning. Just in time to cover some breaking news. Got here just as Governor Tony Evers was making the announcement that he would not run for a third term next year. And Parker, I wanted to start a game from this. I wanted to say, okay, look, we're going to get probably a dozen candidates. Yeah. I wanted to get a list of a dozen names or so of potential candidates, and then have people guess the order in which they were going to announce.
Ooh, I like that.
And then see who was closest. Unfortunately, the game's already underway. Yeah. We already have the first two names on the list, as Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez made official this morning that she is going to be a candidate for governor. The Lieutenant Governor has been with Governor Evers on this first term. You'll recall Mandela Barnes was Lieutenant Governor during Governor Evers' first term and then left that post to campaign for U.S. Senate. Sarah Rodriguez, a former emergency room nurse, now saying officially that she is a candidate for governor next year. Right on its heels, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley put out a statement as well that said, quote, in the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. The stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines. So there you have it. Not 24 hours removed from Governor Evers' decision not to run for a third term, and you already have the first two Democratic candidates in the race. You have two announced Republican candidates in the race, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien. And so you have two Democrats, two Republicans, and trust me, many, many more will be getting in the race. These will be wide open primaries August of next year, which is not, again, a wide open primary is not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It just is. We have an open race for the first time in well over a decade. And so when you have that situation come up, expect a whole bunch of people to be introducing themselves to you and asking you for your vote. That August primary is going to be super important. So as we get approaching that, just over a year from now, realize the value of not just waiting for November to vote for governor, but you're going to be asked to pick from a large field of candidates for governor, for lieutenant governor, and potentially for attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on who all gets in and how all the dominoes fall, which started with Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. A local update is next for some of you. Our Week in Review panel is on the way as well. But first, it is Free Ticket Friday. So tell you really quick here, get that Civic Media app. Go to one of the stations, use the text feature, and text us the word BREW, B-R-E-W. not brewers. I saw that in one or two folks, but Brew, B-R-E-W. You're in the running for a statewide drawing to win four tickets to the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon at American Family Field. From the heart of America's up north, live from Oshkosh this Friday, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. The time is 7:22. A very foggy start here in north central Wisconsin. From our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, temperature stands at 64 degrees. This is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, joined by our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. And big news in the last 24 hours, since we were last with you yesterday morning, is that Governor Tony Evers has announced that he will not be running for a third term as governor.
So I did hear about that.
Yep. So everything is opened up in terms of the nomination for both now the Republican and the Democratic gubernatorial race. So we would like to hear from you here in North Central Wisconsin. If you have thoughts on Governor Evers declining an opportunity to run for a third term, if you have ideas on maybe somebody that early on here that you are hoping throws their hat into the ring as a potential Democratic gubernatorial candidate, or just general thoughts on where we stand in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to the governor, give us a call at 715-814-9330. That's 715-814-9330 to let your voice be heard in terms of Governor Tony Evers. And my first thought is that I'm torn. I am a bit torn on it. I think that even now, Tony Evers is still the best candidate for the Democratic Party in terms of winning in 2026.
I agree.
But I also believe that it is a good thing to have maybe a change in generations when it comes to the leadership, both within the state and within the country.
Yeah.
However, I was uncomfortable with the idea of the little bit of a push I felt, both in terms of some media and a couple of folks within the party suggesting that the governor not run. I thought the governor should have been given the space to make up his own mind, and I'm sure it was his own decision that in the end it was not overly affected by anything from the outside. Mm-hmm. But again, I felt as though that based on the record, that the governor earned the right to be able to make this decision on his own. He had said previously that he would be waiting until the conclusion of the budget process to make this announcement. That's exactly what it was. It was just a couple of weeks ago that the budget deal was had in Madison, and not that long to give the governor then the opportunity to make this decision. But again, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But in the end, the governor made his announcement in a YouTube video, and It was a very upbeat video. But again, I don't think there's an easy response here. I think that there's obviously going to be, I think, some sadness for a very effective governor for stepping aside. Not right away. Still 17 months to go in his term. But at the same time, there's a lot of unknowns now for the Democratic Party.
There certainly is. I think it's, when I first heard the message, I was, sad that he's not going to come back for a third term, because I believe that he's been a very good governor for Wisconsin. I think that his record as the governor of Wisconsin speaks for itself. It speaks well, because he has done a lot of positive changes, and they haven't all been, widely publicized, but they have been effective in, helping the citizens of Wisconsin. That's how I believe that changes were made slowly and steadily, but surely he has made positive changes in our state.
And it's not taking very long for officially announced candidates to jump into the ring. In fact, in the last hour, the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who has served alongside Evers since he was reelected to a second term in 2022, she officially launched her campaign this morning.
Okay.
In an online video, she pledged to back abortion rights and took aim at President Donald Trump. She said, "We've got a maniac in the White House. His tariffs are killing our farmers, and his policies are hurting our kids."
Well said.
Well, at the same time, though, we talked to Nancy Stensel yesterday, and we talked about what Democrats need to be talking about. Yeah. And I think we agreed that, yes, I think there's an assumption that a Democrat will be for abortion rights, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that in this next election, rent, everyday cost of living for the average Wisconsinite,
that definitely needs to be a major issue that needs to be addressed.
Exactly. Certainly. So I do think that the candidates on the Democratic side in Wisconsin in 2026 have to make sure that economic issues, I think, are at the forefront of any campaign. I think, as I said yesterday, that there's going to be an assumption that the Democrats, whether Sarah Rodriguez or others, will be on the forefront of protecting the rights of women and reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of truly getting to the heart of the voters, it's going to have to be a very strong economic message coming in the next 2 years.
I agree. Absolutely.
715-814-9330. When we come back at 752, again, we will allow you to join us if you have thoughts on either Tony Evers or Sarah Rodriguez or any other candidates for Wisconsin governor. So write this down, 715-814-9330, and we'll remind you of that when we're back in about 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. Back to Pat Kreitlow after an information update, including the Farm Report on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We know that the international marketplace is critical for beef, pork, and poultry. But what you may not realize is what the international marketplace is buying. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What we buy in the United States as far as beef, pork, and poultry, not exactly what international customers may be looking for. That's the word from Jeff Swenson. He is a livestock marketing specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and he says a lot of the product that we move internationally is basically product that U.S. consumers wouldn't buy, he explains.
But getting Americans to eat even more meat than they do now is really an uphill battle. And then we need to remember the type of products that we do export. So when we look at exporting the lower value items that U.S. customers tend to shy away from, so we export a lot of tongue and short plate and liver when it comes to beef and what we'd call entrails or intestine when it comes to pork, it would be difficult to make Americans change their eating habits to eat more of that.
Jeff Swenson, livestock marketing specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And he says, remember, every pound of those variety meats that we sell internationally adds value back to our animals here. Where's the value in the marketplace on a Friday morning? We'll take a look at that next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Thursday, barrel cheese remained unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent, 164.5, while AA butter stood still. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's down 3, 1723 a hundredweight. December new crop corn's down a penny at 419. November new crop beans down a nickel at 1019. September wheat's down 3 at 539 a bushel. I'm Pam Yonke.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. We're live in Oshkosh on this Friday morning, July 25th, and back to our Week in Review panel in just a moment. Right after a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletters here at Up North News, head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. I will be putting together our Sunday morning newsletter real soon about the week in Wisconsin politics. Gosh, what will I write about? Whatever will I find to talk about? I'm sure there will be something in there, including a question of the week and the responses to this week's question, which was, what do you think of candidates that run ads super early, like more than a year before the election, as Bill Berrien is doing? Well, in hindsight, it's looking like a pretty good move right now. He's got to boost his name ID as more Republicans start to get into this race. But does it work with voters or not? So again, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Yes, Tony, I agree with what he put on YouTube here. It's going to be a fun year. Yes, fun. Let's put it that way. Fun is the way that we're going to go. Jennifer Scholz is here. Mark Jacob and Jim Santel as well. Jennifer, the last your last issue of Indistinct Chatter in Substack was all about the potential merger between Paramount and Skydance, which would include CBS and Stephen Colbert being shown the door. But what to me, what really takes the cake is the statement from the FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr, who is a Trump loyalist, when he says, in approving the merger, quote, "Americans no longer trust the legacy national media to report fully, accurately, and fairly. It's time for a change. That's why I welcome Skydance's commitment to make significant changes at the once storied CBS broadcast network." Well, knowing what we know about how the leadership at Skydance is also friendly toward Trump, this seems like a particularly sad occasion, Jennifer, taking us one step closer to state-controlled media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible decision, and we should all be horrified by it. I can't imagine what's going to happen to CBS or how quickly it's going to change. It's going to change. The question is, how quickly is it going to change, and how will we see it? Will it be a slow moving thing? Will it be sudden? Everybody's gone. But it is so startling to see one of the grandest broadcasters and journalism entities in our modern time taken over in this way. And we should all be really, really concerned about it. It's a very bad thing for the country. Very bad.
And so while we're concerned about it, Mark, the question becomes, what does everybody else do about it? Now, we've seen, you know, ABC capitulate in some way, shape, or form. Meanwhile, we've seen the Wall Street Journal, of all places, being the one most likely to punch back. What is it that other media sites are going to have to do once they see CBS change, which, as Jennifer said, it's almost certain that CBS will?
Well, I think the real problem is corporate media that cares way more about profits than about doing good journalism. You know, and that was totally the case with Paramount and the CBS thing. You know, there are some good outlets. You know, there is ProPublica. There's The Guardian is, you know, based in the UK, but it does one of the best jobs of reporting on American media of anyone. Now, the Wall Street Journal thing is kind of odd because that's Rupert Murdoch, the same guy who owns Fox News. But my feeling about that is that Rupert Murdoch is just serving his customers, and the Wall Street Journal customers want facts and truth, and the Fox News customers want to be lied to, and he's very happy to serve both audiences.
In your newest newsletter of Stop the Presses, get it at stopthepresses.news. The headline is, "A Feeding Frenzy Finally Feasts on Trump." And that takes us to the Jeffrey Epstein saga, which, again, is unnecessarily convoluted when you had a whole bunch of people saying, release the files. And now the president of the United States is saying, actually, there's nothing there. And it was a hoax. And you supporters of mine, you're stupid if you believe it. Small wonder this has backfired, Mark.
No, yeah, I'm surprised about two things regarding this. You know, one, that the news media actually picked up on it, you know, because this has been, frankly, been an underplayed story for a decade, you know, and none of the Trump scandals have really taken hold the way they should. And this one certainly didn't, but then he, obviously he promised his followers that he'd release files and then the client list, and then the client list doesn't exist. And so I understand why they're mad about it. So I was surprised that the media stayed on it and is still staying on it. And we're almost up to the third week. And the other thing I'm surprised about is that Trump has botched the issue so badly. I mean, when you announce to your followers that, you know, stop talking about this, they're not going to stop talking about it. That's the sure way to get people to talk more about it, is when you demand that they stop talking about it.
The one thing here, Jim Santel, that is troubling to me, and I know it is troubling to you, though, is how they are trying to distract, how they're trying to cover their tracks, or how they're trying to change the direction, specifically a deputy attorney general meeting with the imprisoned Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Epstein's accomplice in all of this, the one who could say with any certainty that Donald Trump did or didn't have any untoward activity along with Jeffrey Epstein, but now he's president of the United States. So when a political appointee like this meets with her to either issue promises or threats, I mean, that meeting yesterday also crossed some kind of a line in my mind. How about you?
And to what end? What are we doing here inside the Department of Justice? She has already been convicted, as we all know, of the very offense conduct with which Jeffrey Epstein was also charged. He was not tried, of course, because he committed suicide before that happened. But what are we doing here in connection with some legitimate law enforcement purpose? It underscores this notion we've got just not unfounded conspiracies about unfounded conspiracies. And now we've got the second highest person in the Department of Justice, who apparently the bidding of our president is saying, okay, meet with her to do what? What is it you're going to accomplish? We already know that inside the Department of Justice, if they want to produce it, it's not the grand jury transcripts. It never was. There's a huge file sitting there. There's nothing more to prosecute. There's nothing more to investigate aside from supporting the many victims out there, which this administration needs to do. If you want to bring this to an end, release all those materials. Let there be another feeding frenzy about all of that. Who knows what's inside of that, but be done with this. The larger issue, of course, Pat, as we've talked about, is Donald Trump, and getting back to Mark's point, he set this fire, as Chris Christie is saying, when he basically decided, I'm going to be involved in all kinds of things related to the Department of Justice, tearing down that arm's length wall that has always existed between the White House and 9th and Constitution. He has basically said, I'm going to tell you who to prosecute, what to do, who to investigate. And if he had not done that and said, you know what, all of this related to Department of Justice, case-specific stuff, he could have legitimately, in the tradition of every president before him, distanced himself. Instead, as Mark and Jennifer said, jumped in full head. And now he has set the fire. He cannot control the blaze anymore, to mix metaphors here.
Let's move from the White House and from the Department of Justice over to the Capitol building, Jennifer, where, yeah, Donald Trump's having a bad week, but boy, so is Speaker Mike Johnson, who actually sent Congress home early to their summer recess to avoid hoping it would go away. Jennifer, it's not going to go away when Congress comes back. This is going to be maybe the worst recess ever for some of these members.
Well, on a couple of topics, not just Epstein, right? We already know that Republicans are being counseled not to hold town hall meetings again, because remember how well that went when constituents were upset about the DOGE cuts. Constituents are now upset about lots of things. They want the Epstein information, but they're also really worried about these Medicaid cuts, SNAP cuts, the ACA premiums going up and other things like that. And I think that Republicans, if any of them do show their face in public, now that they have a 6-week vacation, it will be a really difficult time for them. I think it's also a good time for the press to really hone in on some of the specifics of these issues that the Republicans are trying not to talk about, because there are going to be a lot of really drastic impacts on people and very soon.
Mark, when as part of the distraction, you had Trump and others, Tulsi Gabbard, Ron Johnson, Derek Van Orden, going so far as to try to talk about, you know, arresting Barack Obama for the 2016 Russia influence in the investigation, and Tulsi Gabbard's deliberate misconstruing of documents related to 2016. It all felt very outrageous yesterday and the day before, and it still is. But Mark, I feel like by now it's become clear that that's been one more thing they're trying. Their base has always been wanting to arrest Obama for some reason. But if they thought that that was going to be a successful distraction, it doesn't appear to be so.
Well, anything works with their base. I mean, yeah. Their base is, you know, just doesn't care about facts. You know, whatever Trump wants to do is great. But that's not a majority. It's not even close to majority. And the rest of the people who, you know, still have thinking brains in their heads are I think that they see this for what it is. I mean, when you see them dredging up like Hillary and Obama, I mean, that's old news, folks. You know, I mean, and the Obama thing is just dishonesty by Tulsi Gabbard, who we knew what she was when she was named. In fact, Trump knew what she was when she was named, and that's why he named her. You know, she's very pro-Russian. She doesn't really have any respect for democracy. She doesn't have any respect for the facts, because when you look into the Obama thing, it makes no sense. And a bipartisan congressional report on the whole issue, endorsed strongly by Marco Rubio, found that there was no problem there.
Yeah, and it was, again, when I say ham-handed, it was just so apparent and blatant that she took documents that said there's no evidence that Russia meddled in the election and changed votes in voting machines to there's no evidence Russia meddled in the elections, period. Jim Santel, you try something like that from a legal standpoint, and I think you get in a little trouble.
You'll have your head handed to you by any federal district court judge, any appellate court judge, would say, Mr. Santel, let me read to you the rest of the sentence, the rest of the report. And it is a part of, as all four of us are saying, it's a part of the deception. It is linguistic gymnastics of the worst kind. It is relying upon the notion, which apparently is true for some portions of our population, they do not have the capacity to do the critical thinking and say, wait a minute. Let's figure out what the rest of that sentence is all about. Let's figure out what the truth is. And at least on this, I am bright enough to know that this is not the case. This administration depends on people not understanding everything from how government works to how basic language works to how, even inside my world, how criminal charges work, what things happen in the civil courts. And therefore, you can take these little nuggets of words, twist them around, and maintain that that's how things have always been. It is deceptive. It is really cynical also at the highest level. The president basically is saying, I know the American people are not bright enough to call me out on this, so I can go down this road. And then the Tulsi Gabbards and the others, including the attorney general, can follow in suit. The president has in the past said, you know, I love an uneducated people. We've seen that now once again.
Yeah, without a doubt. Jim Santel has Amicus Law Review. You can hear it Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on Civic Media stations, and a playback on Sunday morning. Of course, we've got Mark Jacobs' newsletter at stopthepresses.news, also through Courier Newsroom, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. A local update is next for some of you. Others will continue our discussion here with the panel as we head into the weekend, along with Mike Clemens and State Representative Lee Snodgrass in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Hmong Wausau Festival is back, July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouthwatering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Hmong festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Vallejo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is 7:53. Currently at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, 67 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. So looks like it'll be a pretty good day. Looks like we're going to get plenty of sunshine before all is said and done, at least early in the day. Then maybe a few clouds will be moving in during the afternoon hours. Again, the big story here today is the retirement of Governor Tony Evers at the end of his current term. Again, his term goes through next year, so the end of 2026, but it does open things up for other Democrats now to jump into the race. I mentioned in the last segment that earlier this morning, that Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has officially announced that she is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor. But she's not the only one making news this morning. Also early this morning, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has not officially joined the race, but it sure looks like he's going to be joining the race. He put out a statement honoring Governor Tony Evers and his tenure in office. And after making some nice comments about the governor, Crowley added, as part of this release, "I care deeply about the direction Wisconsin takes from here. It is more important than ever that Wisconsin continues to have strong leadership. In the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. The stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines." He says, "Governor Evers has laid a strong foundation. I believe it's our responsibility to build on that progress, and I look forward to engaging in that conversation with the people of Wisconsin." So while officially not announcing his candidacy for the governorship, David Crowley, again, the Milwaukee County executive, has made it clear that he will be a candidate for the governorship. And if you have a thought on the governor, Tony Evers, deciding not to run for a third term, or on Sarah Rodriguez officially throwing her hat into the ring, or potentially David Crowley, I would say 95% of the way, putting his hat into the ring, or the other potential candidates. And there are a number of potential candidates that could be joining in terms of the race for governor. You have the Attorney General, Josh Call. You have Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. You have Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. You have former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor and former Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, Mandela Barnes. And I would say that there's probably be others that would jump into the ring as well. It was funny, actually, last night. And real quickly, if you have a thought, you can let us know at 715-814-9330. That's 715-814-9330. But last night I was looking at social media after the governor made his announcement, and posting up was former Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Oh. And she had talked about how when she won the mayor race the first time around to become mayor of Wausau, she said that one of the first people to respond and to call her was Tony Evers. And she also said when she lost in her race for the mayor a year ago, one of the first people to call her and to respond to her was Tony Evers, and talked about his support for her and his record as the governor of Wisconsin and the good man that he is. And one of the comments under there was somebody saying, "Well, you should run for governor." And former Mayor Rosenberg actually made a, she's, and I wish I had it in front of me in terms of, let me see if I can pull it up really fast. But again, the wit that is shown by former Mayor Katie Rosenberg is always very impressive. And again, I think she, if wants
honestly,
to get,
I could see her being the governor of Wisconsin.
Well,
absolutely, I could see her.
But she, in her posting, let me find this comment here that she had made in a response to somebody that had said that. Let me find it. Oh, dang. It's always so difficult. I should have had this up immediately. But
so I'm guessing that with all the candidates who are going to be putting up their bid for the governor election, pretty soon there's going to be a political ads, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Oh, somebody had said that you should run, Katie, and then she responded, "I'm too mentally healthy right now. Seeing politics from this side is wild." And again,
that is a good point.
It is. And the thing is, I think, you know,
politics can take a lot on your mental health.
She's definitely young enough that at some point in the future, if it's what she wants to do, that there'll be plenty of opportunities for her to get back into elected politics. But at the same time, I think that the idea that I'm too mentally healthy right now, and then saying seeing politics from this side is wild, is I think it's very perceptive of where we stand both locally, statewide, and nationally when it comes to
politics here in 2025. So
I would agree with
but
that.
But I do hope much. That sometime in the future, somebody like Katie Rosenberg does get back involved in elected politics. If, yeah. again, that is what she wants to do, because I think that is always the bottom line. When it comes to being involved in elected politics, you have to want it 100%. Mm-hmm. If you get into it just because you feel like, yeah, people want me to or I should do it, no. Nope. You have to want it from your core, and I do think that
it should
that's
be
vitally important.
Your choice.
Exactly. I mean, that is something that you, that's at that point of your life, you want to do it, and then you make that move.
Yeah.
The time is 7:59. We have an information update coming up, and then another hour to come with Pat Kreitlow, and also we'll be back at 22 and 52 after the hour for our WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Justice Department official will interview Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, again today in Florida. Her attorney, David Marcus.
She never invoked a privilege. She never declined to answer.
Maxwell serving 20 years at a federal prison in Tallahassee. An appeals court in California has tossed out a rule requiring background checks to buy bullets. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Law enforcement actually wanted this restriction because there are many people who have guns illegally. And if they can at least control the bullets that are going out, they might be able to control who uses these guns.
She's already serving life for killing her two kids. Lori Valley O'Daybell is about to be sentenced again for killing an ex-husband. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on the case.
She only has one life to serve a life sentence, but yet she is likely to be sentenced today to a life sentence in Arizona, too.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.